So over these past few weeks, we've looked at various aspects of how God the Creator set the idea of a special day to rest. After he had designed and brought to life the universe, our beautiful earth, its inhabitants, and man and woman, and how through the history of God's people, this has been interpreted and put into practice in different ways. Then going on to see what the Lord Jesus taught and how he expressed the truths of the significance of the Sabbath for us to understand, appreciate, and follow in our lives. In the beginning, in the account of the creation, we're told God rested or paused on that seventh day. Do you remember we talked about not resting because he was tired, but just a pause to consider all that had taken place. Then the fall, when man and woman disobeyed, and the consequences of this. To the Exodus, when God's people were enslaved and then set free. The gift of the Sabbath as a sign, a covenant, a contract of the relationship that God offers to his people. We've seen how the Lord Jesus emphasizes relationship, not laws. I will give you rest, he says in Matthew 11. And we've looked at the responsibility of being in relationship with our holy God, who calls us to express his love to others by seeking social justice and speaking up for the marginalized and discriminated. And last week, Ian looked at the story of the two sons and their father, how the father loved them and shared what he had with both of them, despite their different attitudes and understanding of their relationship with him. So let's not just think today, oh, this is the last of that course, I'm going to put that behind us now and move on. But every now and again, it would be good to occasionally look back at these different aspects of the Sabbath, its teachings throughout the different phases of our life, as God prompts us to regularly examine ourselves, to look at our attitudes on how we use the resources that he has given us. So that's a quick whirlwind tour through the course. Well, let's pray now before our final reflection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of meeting in this place. We thank you for your holy word. And as we think today on Bible Sunday, we just thank you for the rich word that you have given us to help us understand more about you and our relationship with you. So we pray now for your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to encourage us and challenge us, and above all, to reassure us that you go with us in our lives. So we ask now for this, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So today in this last session, we've come full circle to looking again at the emphasis that God made that seventh day holy. So what does it mean to be holy? The Sabbath practice and lifestyles have changed throughout history, the way people act and the things that they get up to on the Sabbath. It's a bit like, you know, when we come to think about all this, it's like those New Year's resolutions. You know, when you think, right, this coming year, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that. And we make all these, you know, really well-intentioned intentions of what we want to do with our life. And then all of it just becomes a bit too much. And we think, well, where do I start? There's just so much. And we end up not doing anything. Do you know that? Do you recognise that? Well, there's an African proverb that Archbishop Desmond Tutu has referred to. And he says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So, not that I advocate going and eating elephants, but it's that sense of the enormous size of the elephant. Where do you start? And it's one bite at a time. And it's when we're being challenged about all these things that we've looked at over the past few weeks and what we're going to look at today. It's not to go out there feeling burdened and, oh, I don't do any of that and I'm no good. Or, crumbs, I want to do those things, but where do I start? It's not to put that pressure on. But it's just to be aware of what's out there and what we can get involved in and to ask God's equipping and direction for what he wants us to be involved in. Like that proverb suggests, it's one bit at a time. And it might be just one thing in our lifestyle that we change. Just one thing. But at least it's a movement, it's a step in the right direction. And that might encourage us to go on and look at something else. The Bible is full of encouragement and commands. We're told to be salt and light in Matthew 5. Salt to give flavour and light to shed light on the situation, the way things are. We can be a voice for the voiceless. We can write to our MPs, we can get involved with things to help the more vulnerable in society. We can be salt, we can just be living our lives and people thinking, do you know what, I quite like what they've got. And all we've got is the presence of our holy God in our lives, who gives us that hope, that reason for life, and that joy that only comes from Christ. We're also told that we're Christ's ambassador. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and an ambassador, they're not the same as the person who sent them, so they're not as powerful. You're not expected to be able to do everything. You're the messenger, and you're passing something on. And we can become very bogged down with what I can't do. Oh, I can't do what that person does, or I haven't got any experience, I don't have any qualifications, or whatever it might be. But we're just asked to be God's ambassador, to pass on the good news. But we are commanded to be holy as God is holy in Leviticus chapter 19. We don't and we can't do good things to earn God's favour. But because we love our Heavenly Father, we want to please him. And we want to live as his people, recognised as his people, to bring glory to him. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. And that's in James chapter 2. During his life on earth, Jesus challenged those around him about their attitudes and life choices. Remember the rich young man in Matthew 19 who knew the important theological theory, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus commanded him for his theological understanding. And then he said, go and sell all that you have. And he went away sad. Because despite knowing the theory, to love God above everything, at that moment in time, he actually put his trust and his joy, his desire, in his wealth that he had. There was the woman in adultery, and Jesus told her to sin no more. But also, those standing around who were accusing and judging her, ready to throw the stone, they were told to first of all look at yourself. The story of the humble tax collector and the proud Pharisee at the temple. The tax collector went, not being able to look up, just saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to be here, but I am here, and I just ask you to help me, to forgive me, and to help me with my life. And then the Pharisee, who was there because I have to be here, I'm part of the establishment, and look at me, how good I am, and I'm not like him. You know, that pride in his heart. And then the story of the Good Samaritan, a person looked down on by Jews, but was hailed as a compassionate and generous hero by Jesus. So these are just examples of different people in different situations that God wanted to show as an example of what it means to know the touch of the Holy God on our life and how it can change our attitudes and actions. The Exodus reading that we had was about being conscious of the whole household and community. Although it says, yes, you know, we are to keep this day holy, but it wasn't just so that the Lord of the family, because in those days, The Lord, the Father, he was the Lord of the whole community. So he could just sit back and be very religious and sit back, but expect everybody to bring him his dinner and to look after him and look after everything that's going on. No. The actual Exodus reading says, plus all the women, the men, the animals, they are to rest as well. So it's being conscious of the community, not just thinking about yourself. Not just thinking, oh, it's a Sunday and I've got to rest. But it's a Sunday, it's Sabbath. What would God have me do? How can I get to know God better? I don't want to give out a list now of all the things that are out there to explore and perhaps get involved in. But just to say that God does ask us to be conscious of our attitudes and the way our life choices can impact others. We've looked at racism, discrimination. Are there ways that we can be proactive in helping those who are marginalised, such as supporting room at the inn? We've talked to Shirley for more information about that. And another member of our church is involved with the Town Centre Food Bank. Whether it's donating food or going to volunteer to help distribute the food. We've got the street pastors. You can talk to Richard and Fran about the involvement. What does it mean to be involved in the street pastors? And these are just a few groups and organisations that are happening here in Warrington. We are also stewards of God's earth. In society now, there is a more general realisation of the way we have squandered natural resources and polluted the air, the land and the sea. So are we finding out more about this? Or are we just sitting back saying, what can I do about it? There are particular groups that we can support and again be proactive to be God's salt and light. In the UK, we are familiar with going to shops to get a bargain. And we really do like telling everybody, oh, do you know, I got this thing, it was so cheap, it was great. But do we stop to think who pays the price to enable that item to be cheap? We've heard of sweatshops. They're still very much a real thing in this country as well, not just overseas. Could we ask more in the shops about how the stock is made? And where, and what are the working conditions of the people who are producing these things? I'm involved with Fair Trade, and we try to encourage businesses in Warrington who sell Fair Trade products, and we take opportunities to educate the public with various events. We're a small group in Warrington, and if any of you would like to join, we'd love more people to join us. So I've just touched on a few aspects of justice and speaking out for the oppressed and taking action. If people would like online links for more information, please see me afterwards. The Sabbath material gives a lot of really useful links and information. So we've looked at being proactive in our world. The Sabbath is very much also about caring for ourselves too. A very big lesson to learn from God is how to rest. For many, this is something that is seen as not being allowed. It seems that some feel that to be respected is to be known as being so busy, so important, indispensable, when perhaps sometimes to stop is too uncomfortable because it allows time to think, to consider, to dwell on things that we'd rather not dwell on. But God may be wanting us to stop for our spiritual health and to be able to grow as he wants us to. So it's not to follow our tick box of what we think people expect of us, but it's to seek God's purposes for our lives. Rest can take place in many ways. Physical rest, as in falling asleep during the day on the sofa. Reading, doing a relaxed or not so relaxed walk. Watching with others something edifying on television. Having people round or going out for a meal with family and friends. Learning a new skill, sport, or visiting different places. These recreational events are all important and valuable ways to relax. In our society, it's not often that people stop. We sometimes race from one thing to another. Even with our recreation, we think, oh, I haven't got a window there, I'm playing squash or whatever. Which has become the norm. But it's not healthy. We need to pause, just as God did. It's so valuable to just be with a group of family and friends, to enjoy each other's company and to have quality conversations, not snatched pieces of information and texts and emails, which can be very impersonal. Technology is fantastic and can be so beneficial for us, but it's sometimes a bit like the sense of the truth of the Sabbath. Just as the Sabbath is for us, we're not made for the Sabbath. Technology is for us. We're not to be controlled by technology. How many are looking at your mobile phone now? So much currently about how social media is detrimental to young people, emotionally, psychologically, and can cause real mental ill health. In the Gospel reading, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal and destroy. And that's what the enemy does. With all the good things that we have, the enemy distorts it and makes it a controlling thing for us instead of something of beauty and something of value. But Jesus goes on to say that he has come to give life and life to the full. The Sabbath rest is about going deeper, having those proper pauses where we can really rest in God by being quiet and seeking his presence and listening, allowing his Holy Spirit to affirm us and fill us and bring God's peace, inspiration and equipping, which can be experienced even in the midst of a really busy or anxious time with all sorts of things going on in our lives. We can still find those moments of peace with God. So let us seek God to show us how to be salt and light, to be God's ambassadors, to be holy as God is holy. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who knows us and calls us by name. May we know his voice and follow him, who has laid down his life for us and invites us to be with him, to know the gift of the Holy Sabbath rest. Amen.